Welcome to Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut. The meditation, entitled, What If We Don't Like Who Christ Sent, is presented by the Reverend Michael Wu.
And our New Testament reading for this morning is a very, very short passage from the Gospel according to Matthew. We're going to be reading from the 10th chapter, the 40th through the 42nd verses. In this particular portion, I don't know whether your regular pastor who preaches, Pastor Rich, has been following the lectionary, but if you follow the lectionary, where we are in the Gospel of Matthew is basically Jesus has called the 12 disciples, okay, and basically is basically told them what they're going to need to be doing, some wonderful things. He gives them the power to heal, to perform miracles. He also goes through what I call a section on reality therapy. Jesus explains to them that life is not going to necessarily be easy as a disciple of God, or there are always challenges, there are people who don't necessarily like their message, and especially for them in this early time, they were going to go up against the powers to be because they were going to unsettle and challenge the authorities on earth and in place tell the people that they should be following an authority in heaven. But again, so now this is literally the last three verses of the commissioning of disciples. And these are confusing words because historians have interpreted them in various different ways. And I may be flipping it upside down from some of the traditional interpretations, but basically these are words of encouragement. But the reason for the encouragement may be subject to interpretation. There are many who believe that these are words of encouragement because the disciples are being told they're going to receive a reward. My view is that it's a little more all-encompassing and that there's a special message, especially in our world today, that Jesus leaves all of his disciples with, you and I, of how we need to act in the world. But let's, again, read from Matthew 10, verses 40 through 42. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of those will lose their reward. There ends our meeting for this morning. May God add his blessings to our understanding of those words. And so it is that we are talking about rewards this morning. And rewards are very important. And I guess it might be very logical that at the end of a commissioning, at the end of some very harsh words about how things may turn out and how there may be persecution and disagreement and how possibly, because of the Word of God, may even divide families and cause brothers to fight with brothers, children with their parents, etc., you need to hear something positive. But oftentimes, I think that we read things from the Bible in a much more personal sense than we have to. And so let me just start with this particular thought here today. We live in a very distracted world, okay? And we're distracted for so many different reasons. I think that the majority of people nowadays blame it on technology. If you go to a restaurant, you'll notice that no one talks to each other at the restaurant tables. Everybody's looking at their cell phone. There was an honest-to-goodness incident one time where I was at visiting somebody and they wanted to call their children down, and I said, oh, I'll just go to the bottom of the stairs and call them down for dinner. And mom said, oh, no, I'll send them a text. Okay? Oftentimes, people are just distracted. We notice that in the crazy way that people are driving now. It's not that sometimes they're intentionally crazy. Sometimes they're just downright not there. I even notice that sometimes we're distracted because of the things we have to do. For the next few days, it's, just so you know, my personal life, it's Benji and me. Okay, so Benji's family are on the, most of them are on the way to Mexico on an airplane, and guess who gets Benji? Okay, Benji and Grandpa are spending the next few days together. Now, I took Benji to the place where I oftentimes walk along the Farmington River. It's on a trail, and I noticed yesterday, though, that I always make a point to make eye contact with anyone I cross on the trail. But while I was walking with Benji, I noticed that I didn't say hello to anybody because I was always looking at what Benji was doing, a little afraid that he was going to do something inappropriate, inappropriate spot that I would have to clean up. Or I would be pulling it along and saying, Benji, you don't need to be sniffing that. Get your nose out of it. Or I was a little worried that we were going to come up to another dog and not knowing how Benji would react. But again, the whole point I what raised this morning is we're all distracted. And we all aren't always paying attention to what's happening with us. Well, this morning's message has to do with how we treat each other. And in the context of how we are so distracted today, my supposition is this, is that also you have to layer on top of our distractions all the discord and dissension that we have in our world. So when we're all disagreeing, when we're all politicizing things, when everything seems, according to the world, not necessarily to God, to be either black or white, that you're either right or you're wrong, and that you're not to tolerate anybody who disagrees with you, my message very simply is this to all people, whether you're on the left, right, middle, wherever you are, and that is that we have to be careful about how we treat other people. Because basically, this message that we are reading this morning is that God is going to send a variety of people into the world, and if they do God's work in any way whatsoever, number one, they are part of the kingdom of God. And so I would love to go to Congress. I wouldn't do this, obviously, because I'm too shy. But I would love to go and talk to our politicians in Washington, or in Harvard for that matter, and just tell them, what if that person who you always are disagreeing with and that you villainize and claim that the whole world's ill is all their problems turns out to be just as much of a Christian as you are? I've always had this crazy thought in my mind that what if I die and what if I actually do go to heaven? And that's always up in the air, okay, I admit. But what if I go there and find out that the person that I most disliked in elementary school is there in heaven also? And it's like, well, wait a minute. So this is obviously, I'm playing this out in a way that I hopefully no one would really do this, but wouldn't you like to just go up to them and say, how did you get into heaven after you bullied and treated people the way you did? Okay, and then I think the answer very well would be that the person would just look over their shoulder toward God and say, go ask the big guy. I don't know. I don't make those decisions. That was way beyond my pay grade. I'm here because I'm here. But the message today is that in a weird way, God sets the threshold pretty low for being part of the kingdom of God. It's as simple, it could be as simple of a thing as we read in the last verse of giving somebody a drink. And so, my first message for this morning is be careful how quickly we villainize people and how quickly we don't talk with someone because they don't necessarily agree with what we happen to think or what we happen to be doing. Because they very well could be a part of the kingdom of God, much to our dismay and much to our shock. And in fact, oftentimes, I would supposition to you as my second point for this morning is that oftentimes we only learn when we face somebody we disagree with. When I hang around with people that always tell me what I want to hear because they agree with me and have the same views, I usually find that I'm doing the wrong things. Okay, this happens so often on mission trips where we have to accomplish a certain task, and I don't mean to get gender-based here, but there is now, I'm realizing, there's a little bit of the truth to the guy, to the theory that when you put a bunch of guys together, especially with a new piece of equipment coming out of the box, we all want to put it together according to the way we think we should put it together. And oftentimes we agree, and by the time we get that piece of equipment, like a paint sprayer, together, we then realize, and we stick it in and turn it on, that it doesn't necessarily work. And then the women who are part of the mission group are snickering at us saying, if you had just read the directions or listened to what we said, maybe you would not have wasted 20 minutes putting it together the wrong way because you're supposed to put part B in first, not part A like you did, etc. But again, in life, I've learned the hard way that oftentimes the most uncomfortable of situations are the ones that really teach me something. And the easiest situations, even in school where I thought a teacher liked me, and then treated me well because of it, then I didn't learn anything in that class. I'll be honest with you, I was in the Bridgeport school system. I had three older brothers who actually had to go through special education because we didn't speak English until we had to go to school. But because of that, they worked extra hard and did incredibly well. I went there and all I had to do was behave a little better than them, which is not a hard standard for many of my brothers. But the teachers loved me because I was just quiet in class and did nothing. And it wasn't until fourth grade that one of the teachers picked up the fact that I couldn't read. Okay, and not only could I not read, they then figured out I couldn't read because no one ever figured out, including my own family, that I couldn't see and I needed glasses. Okay, but again, example of when you take the easy route, you don't learn anything. And then I was in the hard route trying to catch up with all my classmates for the next few years. But that's when I struggled, and that's when I really learned. So lesson number two out of life is oftentimes it's the hard things that build character. I think that with all the technology we have and the fact that things are being made so much easier than they used to be, that we have all these new gadgets that will help do things, we think that that is so much better for us, and yet it's not really good at all, okay? I drive my car nowadays, and to tell you the truth, I admire a lot of the gadgets, and I am a techie, so I did buy the car specifically because of the technological advances, but I find myself driving stupider than I ever did, and I cannot attribute that totally to my age. Some of that is because my car tells me everything. Okay, the car even tells me, which is crazy, but I don't know if you've ever driven into cars, where after a certain amount of time, on the dashboard comes a warning that it's time to take a break. Okay, oh, I'm sorry, I need to go to the bathroom because my car just told me I have to go to the bathroom. But I can't figure that out myself anymore. Gee whiz, you know. But it measures whether or not your eyes are looking in a certain direction, whether you're turning the steering wheel a little too quickly, et cetera, et cetera. And I can't tell you how many times, unfortunately now, because of backup cameras and the warning I get when someone's coming, how oftentimes I have to slam on the brakes while I'm backing out of a parking space in a shopping center because I'm relying on the car to tell me someone's coming instead of looking in all directions myself. It worries me that I don't use the mirrors as much as I used to do because, again, my car will tell me if I'm going to pass somebody and take a left turn, get into the left lane, whether or not there's another car there in my blind spot, whereas previously I learned the hard way that you had to look physically, turn to your left, turn to your right, make sure there's no car there before you move. Well, again, those are examples of how oftentimes, again, the hard way is the better way in the world of God. Man got kicked out of the Garden of Eden because of some sins, but I think that it was part of God's plan to not let human beings have it easy all the time. Okay. So for our third point, though, and I have to do this because it's a requirement, we knew that it was coming when you invited me to be here, I need the kids to help me on the third point of the message from this morning here today. So, can I have your help? And, Precious, too bad the camera cannot focus on them because the eyes are like, we haven't seen this guy in a while. Do we trust him? No. Okay. So they're all kind of wondering what in God's name I could possibly ask them to do. I need your help. And this is where I told Ted I would not move when I did. But I have to now turn this thing on. Okay, so now we have a hard task I need you all to do here today. Okay, so I have my bag of goodies, as I always have, because I always can't travel without my bag. And would anyone have any kind of guess what might be inside this bag? What would be in that bag?
Skittles.
What? Skittles? Skittles and?
M&M's.
And M&M's, and what else? Yeah, and? Anything else? What do you think is in the bag?
Fruits.
Fruits? Boy, fruits as in healthy stuff? Definitely haven't seen me in a while, have you? Fruits? What happened? Anything else? So what did you say? You said Skittles? Okay, so Skittles. Oh, gee, happen to have a box of Skittles. M&M's, you said? Oh, gee, just happen to have a box of M&M's, too. Oh, and then, oh gosh, a bag of M&M's, not just a box. Because you got to have peanut and regular. What else do you think I had?
Like healthy stuff.
Healthy stuff?
No.
The healthy stuff is pictured here. There is healthy stuff, but unfortunately it's only a picture. Okay? So there are a variety of different things in that, right? So here we have all kinds of different things. So we have some Reese's Pieces. We have some Swedish Fish. We have some Whoppers. What else? We have brunch. What's that?
Spears?
Oh, I don't know. So what you have to do, go with the second kind of Skittles, and Raisinets, and, well, then Lemon M&Ms. lives and their lives. So your job is to decide how you're going to distribute the candy amongst yourselves. Oh, see? Tough. Yeah, distribute, as in, okay, so you have to decide who's going to get what. So suddenly, the guys sitting in the front row are at your mercy because you can decide what you're going to give them. Don't want that challenge?
I do.
Oh, you do want it. Okay, you want that challenge. Okay. Well, so, okay, so how are you, let me just say, I asked them, how are you going to decide who gets what?
It's so tricky to guess. I don't know which one. Right.
Okay. Well, we base it maybe on how well they did in school this year.
Okay.
You know.
I think that where you pick something, then whatever you do, you give to the next person.
Oh, well, that's a good way to do it. Also, right? Okay. All right. And so, okay, well, then, how are you going to do this then? So, basically, you're all going to pick something first, and then you have to give it to somebody else. Is that what you said?
No, like, you pick something.
Yeah?
Like, say if you pick something, then you give it to me, then I'm going to pick something else for you, too.
Oh, okay, so each of you are going to pick something for another person. Very good. That's part of what we want to do here. Okay, so why don't you start then? Pick something. And you have to decide who you're going to give it to. And then once you give it to somebody, that person doesn't get another one, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, so who would get that? Okay, all right, now. Okay, now, you get to pick one of these things and give them to somebody. We'll do it that way. Once you got something, you pick something and give it to somebody else.
Okay, yeah. So,
Oh, you're going to help them? Okay, all right.
Wait, actually, you can just read your piece.
Okay, so you got to pick one of these things here.
So pick anything.
Pick any one you want, but if you're giving it to somebody else, that's the point. All right, now who are you going to give it to? Yeah, who are you going to give it to? Who are you going to give it to? All right, go ahead and give it. Go over there and bring it to me. All right, and then unfortunately you're up then. So you can't hide your pews here. You're not pew sitters here today. Oh, wait a minute, you're not supposed to give hints on them. See, this is all about somebody else giving you something. And you've set the rules, by the way, so just remember. Okay. Okay, all right. Okay, and then Karen, you kind of pick something, you give it to somebody else. Ooh, okay, and then you get to pick something, give it to somebody else. Oh, you're a little worried about what you make there. You said, oh, great. Oh, okay. Okay, now. Okay, you now have to pick something for him. Okay, well, we obviously have people who want to help. Okay, is that okay? All right. Okay, well, I hope you're all okay with what you got. And if not, you got one chance to swap something else. Okay, then you can pick one other thing. You can swap. You want to swap it? There you go. Which would you like? Swappers. All right, there you go. All right, very good. Thank you very much for all of your help in doing that. Okay, so what was the point of why you did that? The point is that you took a lot of time and a lot of thought to do what you're doing there. And my message is this, not that it was wrong in any way, but part of our scripture lesson here this morning says that sometimes we spend too much time thinking about things instead of just doing them. And as God's people, we should just do the little things. Again, God does not judge how we do it based on what the final outcome is or what you picked as the ultimate candidate. Okay, what God would thank you for doing is just merely giving the other person something. Okay? doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be grand. You don't have to. And you guys are really, really great. You helped me out because I could tell what you're doing. You're trying to figure out what the other person might like. Okay? You're trying to figure out and anticipate. But sometimes that gets in our way of just acting and doing what we need to do. And sometimes we're thinking oftentimes as adults that, oh, no. When I buy that birthday gift or that Christmas gift, I got to find something really special and something they don't have already. So then we call their relative and say, do they have this or that? Do they have any ideas? And then we spend days and days and days trying to find the right thing. And then we go to the store, and the store doesn't have the thing, so we'll go to a different store, etc. And the message from God is just do what needs to be done. Just do the job. And again, in a kind way, Jesus basically is saying, the bar is not that high. Okay, you don't have to waste all that time worrying about how or what you're going to do. Just do it. If something needs to be done, just go out and do it. And we all have an opportunity to do that in so many different ways. And so many congregations, so many churches spend so much time trying to figure out what their proper ministry is, when in reality, God is just calling them to just stay in touch with each other, pick up the phone, smile at each other, get together once in a while, support people when they're down. Okay, it doesn't take a lot to have to meet what God wants you to do. The bar, I guess, unfortunately, I hate to say it this way, is low in God's kingdom. God doesn't have big requirements. You don't have to meet certain requirements. You don't have to do all these special things that we oftentimes think that we have to do. Just do the simplest of things to other people, people you don't even know, and the world will be a very different place. Personally, as I told some of you, I'm now stationed down in the Waterbury Courthouse. I'm doing criminal work, and because I'm doing criminal work, let me just put it bluntly to you. That means that nobody who comes and sees me on any given day that I'm working, which is Monday, Wednesday, Friday down there, is there because they want to be there. They're there because the police arrested them. Okay? And they're not having a good day. No matter how bad somebody is, you may think they are, it's not a good day for them when they're looking at me. Okay? I am not the person you want to see. Okay? But I try to do something to everybody which kind of surprises some of the people there. And that is, I try to say good morning. I try to say thank you. I try to say have a good day. And I address people by sir, ma'am, or their name. And I try to treat them as a human being. Because at the end of the day, I think that by treating them as a human being, I could be totally wrong. That I might get through to them and get them to change their ways more than if I just holler at them and say, you're a horrible human being. For what you've done, you understand you can go to jail for this amount of time. Okay? And if I can get them to change, I'd rather get them to change so they'd stop sinning as opposed to just getting into a revolving door and causing trouble again. And so that throws a lot of people off. And people kind of ask me why. In fact, I had another judge one time give me a yellow sticky while he was sitting there with me on the bench. And it said, stop saying thank you. Okay. Basically saying, in criminal court, judges don't say thank you to those people because they're criminals. And I say, well, if they've done something correct, I'm going to thank them. If they went to treatment like I asked them to do, if they stayed away from the gas station, they're not supposed to be hanging around anymore because that's where they were picked up for loitering, I'm going to say thank you, keep it up. Because I'd rather encourage them. But again, each and every one of us meets people in different contexts each and every day. The person you walk by in the grocery store, the person you walk by while taking a walk, you all have an opportunity to actually go out there and be God's ambassador, and be God's ministers. It's not a high level of standards. You don't have to have a committee go out and decide how you're going to minister to other people. Just do it. Treat your fellow human beings as human beings. Go out there and share the gospel, and the gospel means love. Go out there and share your love with other people in the same way God shares his love with us. Let us join together in a word of prayer. Oh Lord God, we oftentimes complicate our lives so much. Oh yes, we always want experts to give us opinions. We're never quite sure whether or not we've got it right. If we are not sure or we're confused, what do? We oftentimes Google it and see what Google says. Oh Lord, we oftentimes again miss the whole point. And you teach us to just do the things that you would have us do in the most simplest of ways. It is not complicated. It is not difficult. Oh Lord, remind us that your work does not have to be the most spectacular in the world. Your work is sometimes done in the simplest of little things, of offering someone a bottle of water when they're thirsty, offering them a hand, or even asking if they need some help, getting their groceries, or pushing their cart. But, O Lord, again, teach us each and every day that we are your ambassadors, we are your people, we are called to go out of the world and do your will. And as we do that, O Lord, help us again to do your work and spread your love each and every day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You have heard Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut. The meditation, entitled, What If We Don't Like Who Christ Sent?, was presented by the Reverend Michael Wu. For more information, call the church office at 860-283-6181 or email the church at fbcp24@gmail.com. We wish you blessings on your day.